want to speak tonight for a short time on justification, as you will probably have guessed from our second hymn. Justification is something that we should always remember, and it is good to think about it and to get our minds focused on it, because it's so easy in these days to forget about what the Lord has done for us. Justification by faith in Christ alone. If there is one word which stands out in the history of Protestantism, it is the word justification. It was the rediscovery of this great truth of justification by faith in Christ alone, which transformed the life of Martin Luther, led to the Protestant Reformation, and has led to everything that is great in the Protestant cause ever since. Martin Luther said on one occasion, "Justification by faith was the article of the standing or falling of a church. It is this truth more than any other which sets us apart from the Church of Rome." What do we mean by justification? The Shorter Catechism, answer 33. Justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoned all our sins and accepted us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Justification is a legal or judicial act of God. Now, this is where the difference with Rome begins. The Roman Catholic Church states justification means that God makes us righteous in a process. They say that in baptism, original sin is removed. The life of God and righteousness is infused into us, and on that basis, we are justified. They also believe that all through your life, you get further infusions of righteousness as you partake of the sacraments. Rome has 7 sacraments: baptism, the Mass, holy orders, confession, penance, marriage, extreme unction, probably better known to us as the last rites, and we've heard about those. These all infuse grace, and therefore Rome also states that justification is progressive. Of course, if you commit a mortal sin, that grace can be lost, but recovered again by the sacrament of penance. So with Rome, justification is progressive. The Reformers denied this. They saw that justification is a legal act of God in which he declared the sinner righteous. It is a statement about the sinner and not something which happens within the sinner. Remember, justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoned all our sins and accepted us as righteous in his sight. As we have said, justification is an act, not a process. There are no degrees of justification. Each believer has the same right standing before God. Also, justification is something that God does and man does not do. No sinner can justify himself before God. Most important, justification does not mean that God makes us righteous, but that he declares us righteous. God puts the righteousness of Christ on our record in the place of our own sinfulness, and nobody can change this record. In the first reading we did in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 31, verse 21 reads, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." When Paul uses the words "but now," he is putting the emphasis on the new age or dispensation. He is not contrasting Jew and Gentile, but the time when the law held sway and the present time when grace prevails. God had revealed his righteousness in many ways before the full revelation of the gospel. His law, his judgments against sin, his appeals through the prophets, his blessing on the obedient. But in the gospel, a new kind of righteousness has been revealed, and the characteristics of this righteousness are spelled out in this section. The first characteristic, apart from the law, verse 21. Under the Old Testament law, righteousness came by man behaving, but under the gospel, righteousness comes by believing. The law itself reveals the righteousness of God, because the law is holy and just and good. The law also bore witness to this gospel righteousness, even though it could not provide it. Right through the entire Old Testament, witness is given to salvation by faith in Christ. The Old Testament sacrifices, the prophecies, the types, and the great gospel scriptures, such as Isaiah chapter 53, all bore witness to this truth. The law could witness to God's righteousness, but it could not provide it for sinful man. Only Jesus Christ could do that. In Galatians 2 and verse 21, we read these words: I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Number 2, through faith in Christ, verse 22. All men trust something. It could even be themselves, but the Christian trusts Christ. Law righteousness is a reward for works. Gospel righteousness is a gift through faith. Many people will say to you, but I trust in God. But this is not what saves the soul of man. It is personal, individual faith in Jesus Christ that saves and justifies the lost sinner. 3. For all men, verses 22 and 23. God gave his law to the Jews, not to the Gentiles. But the good news of salvation through Christ is offered to all men. All men need to be saved. There is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile when it comes to condemnation. God declared all men guilty so that he could offer to all men his free gift of salvation. 4. By grace, verse 24. God has two kinds of attributes: absolute, which he is in himself, and relative, how he relates to the world and man. One of his absolute attributes is love. 1 John 4, verse 8, God is love. When God relates his love to you and me, it becomes grace and mercy. God in his mercy does not give us what we deserve, but God in his grace gives us what we do not deserve. There is no cause in us that would merit the salvation of God. It is all of grace. 5. At great cost to God, verses 24 and 25. Salvation is free, but it is not cheap. Three words express the price God paid for our salvation: propitiation, redemption, and blood. In human terms, propitiation means appeasing someone who is angry, usually by a gift, or maybe taking them out for coffee or something like that. But this is not what it means in the Bible. Propitiation means the satisfying of God's holy law, the meeting of his just demands, so that God can freely forgive those who come to Christ. The word blood tells us what the price was. Jesus had to die on the cross in order to satisfy the law and justify lost sinners. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, on one occasion, was trying to explain free salvation to a coal miner, but the man was unable to understand it. He said, "I have to pay for it." He kept arguing. Then Dr. Campbell Morgan asked the miner, "How did you get down into the mine this morning?" The man replied, "I just got on the elevator and went down." Then Campbell Morgan asked, "Wasn't that too easy? Did it cost you something?" The man just laughed. "No, it didn't cost me anything, but it must have cost the company plenty to install the elevator." Then the man saw the truth. It doesn't cost me anything to be saved, but it cost God the life of his Son. Number 6, in perfect justice, verses 25 and 26, God must be perfectly consistent with himself. He cannot break his own law or violate his own nature. A God of love wants to forgive sinners, but a God of holiness must punish sin and uphold his righteous law. How can God be both just and justifier? The answer is in Jesus Christ. When Jesus suffered the wrath of God on the cross for the sins of the world, he fully met the demands of God's law and also fully expressed the love of God's heart. Number 7. To establish the law. Verse 27 and 31. The doctrine of justification by faith is not against the law, because it establishes the law. God obeyed his own law in working out the plan of salvation. Jesus, in his life and death, completely fulfilled the demands of the law. God does not have two ways of salvation, one for the Jews and one for the Gentiles, for he is one God. He is consistent with his own nature and his own law. If salvation came through the law, then men could boast. But the principle of faith makes it impossible for men to boast. When a believing sinner is justified by faith, he cannot boast of his faith, but he can boast of a wonderful Saviour. Now we want to turn over to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. The blessings of our justification. In listing these blessings, Paul accomplished two purposes. First, he told how wonderful it is to be a Christian. Our justification is not just a guarantee of heaven, as thrilling as that is, but it is also the source of tremendous blessings that we enjoy here and now. His second purpose was to assure his readers that justification is a lasting thing. His Jewish readers in particular would ask, can this spiritual experience last if it does not require obedience to the law? What about the trials and sufferings of life? What about the coming judgment? When God declared us righteous in Jesus Christ, he gave us 7 spiritual blessings that assure us that we cannot be lost. Peace with God, access to God, glorious hope, Christian character, God's love within, salvation from future wrath, and reconciliation with God. We will look very briefly at these blessings individually. Peace with God. The unsaved person is at enmity with God, or you could say the unsaved person is unfriendly toward God, or in a state of hostility with God. The reason for this hostility is because the unsaved person cannot obey God's law or fulfill God's will. 2 verses from Isaiah make the matter clear. Isaiah 48, verse 22. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Isaiah 32, verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. Condemnation means that God declares us sinners, which is a declaration of war. Justification means that God declares us righteous, which is a declaration of peace. How is this peace made possible? It is made possible by Christ's death on the cross. Nobody condemned by the law can enjoy peace with God. But when a sinner is converted to Christ, they are justified by faith and receive a peace which passeth all understanding. To access to God, verses 2. The Jew was kept from God's presence by the veil in the temple, and the Gentiles was kept out by a wall in the temple, with a warning on it that any Gentile that went beyond would be killed. When Jesus died, he tore the veil. Luke 23, verse 45 reads, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst, and the wall was broken down. We read about this in Ephesians 2, verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. What Jesus has done in his death and resurrection was the bringing together both Jew and Gentile into the Christian church by breaking down and removing the middle wall of partition. The law was meant to protect Jews from pagan corruptions, but by misconstruing the purpose of the law, the Jews felt superior to Gentiles, who were incensed at this arrogance. In Christ, believing Jews and Gentiles have access to God, and they can draw on the inexhaustible riches of the grace of God. Justification has to do with our standing. Sanctification has to do with our state. The child of a king can enter his father's presence, no matter how the child looks. The word access here means entrance to the king through the favour of another. Number 3, glorious hope. Peace with God takes care of the past. He will no longer hold our sins against us. Access to God takes care of the present. We can come to him at any time for the help we need. Hope of the glory of God takes care of the future. One day we shall share in his glory. When we were sinners, there was nothing to boast about, because we fell short of the glory of God. Man can exceed his own standards, but never left to himself can he attain to God's standards of righteousness. In Christ we boast in his righteousness and glory. 4. Christian character, verses 3 and 4. Justification is no escape from the trials of life, John 16:33. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. But for the believer, trials work for him and not against him. No amount of suffering can separate us from the Lord. We cannot be separated from God's love. It is set forth in a person who is God himself, Jesus Christ our Saviour. Trials bring us closer to the Lord and make us more like the Lord. Suffering builds Christian character. As we go through tribulations and depend on God's grace, the trials only purify us and help us to get rid of the chaff in our lives. Number 5, God's love within, verses 5 and 8. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, Proverbs 13 and verse 12. But as we wait for this hope to be fulfilled, the love of God is poured out into our hearts. Before we were saved, God proved his love by sending Christ to die for us. Now that we are his children, surely he will love us more. It is the inner experience of this love through the Spirit that sustains us as we go through tribulations. Faith, Romans 5 verse 1. Hope, Romans 5 verse 2. And love, Romans 5 verse 5, all combine to give the believer patience in the trials of life. Patience makes it possible for the believer to grow in character and become a mature child of God. Number 6, salvation from future wrath, verses 9 and 10. If God saved us when we were enemies, surely he will keep on saving us now that we are his children. There is a wrath to come, but no true believer will experience it. Christ's death accomplished so much for us. How much more will he do for us in his life as he intercedes for us in heaven? Saved by his life refers to Romans 4 and verse 25, who was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification. Because he lives, we are eternally saved. Hebrews 7:23-25. Jesus Christ wrote us into his will, and he wrote the will with his blood. He died so that the will would be in force, But then he rose from the dead and returned to heaven, that he might enforce the will himself and distribute the inheritance. Thus we are saved by his life. Lastly, reconciliation with God, verse 11. The word atonement means reconciliation through, brought back into fellowship with God. The term is mentioned also in Romans 5 and verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. In Romans 1:18-32, Paul explained how men declared war on God, and because of this deserved to be condemned eternally. But God did not declare war on man. Instead, he sent his Son as the peacemaker, that men might be reconciled to God. A review of these seven blessings of justification shows how certain our salvation is in Christ. Totally apart from the law and purely by grace, we have a salvation that takes care of the past, the present, and the future. Christ died for us, Christ lives for us, and Christ is coming again for us. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. We trust that these few stumbling words will be a blessing to each and every heart. And just before we come to our time of prayer, we will sing two verses of hymn number 103. We will sing the first verse and the last verse. Have you read the story of the cross, where Jesus bled and died, when your debt was paid by the precious blood that flowed from his wounded side? Again, we'll stand when we get the introduction. We will come now to our time of prayer, and maybe our brother Norman will lead us in prayer, and then I will close a wee bit later on.